Thank you, Levin. Appreciate everybody being here. I know with the challenging crop this year, it's kind of hard to want to make the expenditure to come to the meetings, but I think the dialogue we have in these meetings is very important for the betterment of the product and the betterment of the U.S. cotton industry. What this paper comes from is a somewhat of an extension of some work we did last year, last spring, at Central Rolling Plains Co-op Gen, and also an extension of the work we did that was reported at last year's Beltwide on the work we did analyzing some lint cleaner saw speeds at Carson County Gen in the High Plains of Texas. And I'd like to acknowledge, first of all, my co-authors, as well as many other staff members, both in the U.S. and in Brazil, that helped me get the data and put this paper together. We'll start off talking about the Central Rolling Plains Co-op project. This was originally the sampling we did last year's crop was to be presented at the Beltwide, but many of you who know me know that it's a last-minute kind of thing with a lot of things I do, and so we didn't get the data in time to present it at the Beltwide, and so as an extension of that program, we decided to do more testing this fall in this year's crop and analyze what's going on. To give you a little background on the Central Rolling Plains Co-op Gen, it's a five-stand outfit with a gin doorless up-packing press. It features two stages of drying and split 120-inch wide pre-cleaning. It features four Cherokee Avenger feeders and gins, and followed by centrifugal lint cleaners and tandem Horn Super 86 lint cleaners. And in the fifth line, we have a Lummus 170 with model 700 feeder, a Super Jet lint cleaner, and tandem Sentinel 2 lint cleaners. You can see the pictures. We did the testing in lines 4 and 5. The Cherokee Gin is in line 4 with the 170 in line 5. During the testing, we kicked out stands 1 and 2 so that we could make sure we were getting a good feed and we weren't straggling cotton in at the end of the conveyor distributor both times back in January and in November when we did the testing. To cover a little bit of the testing protocol, both times we took two conventional seed cotton modules, stripper harvested and burr extracted. We monitored incoming and final moisture content. We took samples not only out of the module but at the feeder aprons as well as all the different sampling points behind the gin stand, after the superjet, and after the two lint cleaners. And then we also performed residual lint analysis on the gin seed. Here you can see a cross-section of the elevation of the fifth line, and it's very similar to the other four lines in the gin, where you've got, of course, the feeder apron sample, sampling gin seed at the seed fall area in the gin, after the gin stand, prior to any lint cleaning, after the superjet, after the A lint cleaner, and then after the B lint cleaner. One of the things that we know this year is, of course, West Texas especially, and also in the Southeast, we've had a lot of problem with leaf trash. And we know the general principles that have been passed down and been researched by the USDA over the years. And I think, in all fairness to the industry, we've gotten away from some of those, from following some of those guidelines. A few good years with good harvest, clean cotton, excellent conditions, and it's easy to start to lose track of the fundamentals that give you a good gin product without doing a lot of fiber damage, but providing a clean enough sample to where you get a good grade and a good price without over machining the cotton in those situations where you don't need to. And so that is one of the things we focused on. We were more interested in, rather than each individual machine, we got all that data, but we were interested before any lint cleaning and after any lint cleaning. When we got the data, or when we got the samples, we did fractionation tests at the Lubbock Gin Lab. We did HVI and APHIS testing at the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Lab on the east side of Lubbock. Mid-Continent Labs in Memphis, Tennessee did the residual lint analysis. And of course, we tabulated everything with Microsoft Excel. And now we get to the results. A lot more results will be in the paper for the sake of time. We're not going to go through a lot of tables, and I'm not going to have quite as big a tables as I've had in the past, which stem A, a lot of questions, and B, a lot of strained eyes. So we're not going to do that. First of all, if you look at the seed cotton moisture contents, we've got some stuff all over the map here, and it was quite interesting. If you look in the January tests, of course, you see the incoming moisture contents anywhere in the 9, 8, 9%, 10%, and drying down to anywhere from 6 to around 8% at the feeder aprons. If you look in the November data, we actually had some situations where we pulled the sample and the module turned out, and we pulled, Russell Sutton was the one that pulled the thing, so if there's a problem, you know, he's in the back of the room, he's nodding acknowledgement. But he pulled samples from inside the module rather than from the very outside, and so I thought it was a very fair way to take the samples. But surprisingly, we got some high moisture contents. But one thing I think we ought to look at, and this is something 2 years ago, if you remember, when we presented some results from Silver Creek Gin, Jonathan McBride was running about 8-9% moisture content at the feeder apron, which, based on USDA recommendations, sounds high. And we were all telling him, "Man, that's too high. You're going to do, you know, you're going to have problems with the sample and everything." Turned out he was paid premiums on almost all the cotton that we ginned on during those tests. And we found, too, that the gins were running quite smoothly, even though this moisture content is, in essence, higher than what is recommended. So that was something we found quite interesting. One thing we were very pleased with was the performance of our 700 feeder in line 5. We saw a reduction in the trash, a little more reduction in the trash than in the other line. But in general, you know, you can see the trends, and you'll have time to review this data a little bit more in the paper when it is published. Looking at the November data, we see similar results. In the case of the November data, the two lines performed more consistently. In other words, one line didn't really outperform another. When we looked at the residual lint, we saw numbers in the January numbers. If you look, you see in the 9 to 10% range, both on both modules. Here we had some really low residual lint, which I think was, you know, I like those numbers, but I think they were a little bit low. These were more expected. We try to use about a 10% residual lint as a gauge to when we think we need to start looking at replacing saws, and are you putting too much lint in the seed pile and not enough in the gin. But you can see that in both cases we were around that, you know, a little bit high. We were very surprised if you look at the residual lint here in both modules, substantially higher on both gin stands. While we were a little bit better on the Lummis stands, both those numbers for both stands was not, in my opinion, satisfactory. I'm thinking we were probably getting to the point where we were needing to change saws. Saws were probably getting dull, and so this was just a time when it was a good time to sample. It was right before the Thanksgiving holiday, so we didn't time it with brand new saws on the gin stand. So in all fairness, that's something that, you know, there's a lot of things you can and can't control when you're doing the sampling with a gin that's trying to maintain an ongoing business. If you look at the HVI leaf, you'll see that in most cases we get down to a 3, sometimes a 4 leaf on both machines. You'll see the reduction in leaf. Here we had some really high leaf that was, when you pulled the sample after the lint cleaning, turned out really well for the Super 86 lint cleaners. So you saw a massive reduction, but when you look at the finished results, you'll see, okay, I forwarded that. You'll see that you typically were in the 2 to 3, and the actual classing grades, while I won't divulge those, actually turned out to be even better than any of these hand-pulled samples. Short fiber content was another thing that we were looking at. What was happening with the change? Was it increasing? Was it decreasing? If you look at, in most cases, with the gin stand going into tandem link cleaning, that is one of the areas that you focus on. How much are you adding to the short fiber content? That second saw type link cleaner can often increase the short fiber. In fact, what we found was some of these instances, we saw the short fiber content reduced, and that was partly because some of it was getting thrown off with the trash. In the case of the Sentinel Link Cleaner, the way that fiber is fed to the saw is a more direct means. It's never batted, and so a lot of the short fiber, the half inch and shorter fiber, goes out in the exhaust fan, and so some of that will be one thing we would have liked to have done, but it's very difficult to do, was monitor the moting rate of all the link cleaners versus the horns versus the lummets. We could see, you could look at them and see that a lot of stuff was coming off, but it's very difficult to isolate the motes from one fan to a, you know, from one link cleaner to another link cleaner. So that's something we'd like to investigate. We checked the typical mote production in those gens, in those link cleaners, is about anywhere from 38 to 41 bales to produce a bale of motes. In the case of most Sentinel link cleaner installations in West Texas, we'll typically get at least 50 bales before we get a bale of motes, and in a lot of other areas it may go as high as 75 or 80. So that's certainly an opportunity to look at updating. One of the areas we were the most pleased with was the aphis neps, where in all cases the Sentinel link cleaner produced fewer neps than the conventional horn type control bat saw type link cleaners. And so we were very, very pleased with that. Our second test was an extension of the work we did on link cleaner saw speed, and we did it in Brazil at a gen down in the state of Mato Grosso do Sul for a company called SLC Agricola. Their farm, called Fazenda Planalto, was a 3170 outfit that we built in 2008, and it features two stages of drying and split 12-foot pre-cleaning. It features stacked model 700 feeders as the final cleaners above the gen stand, and the link cleaning in all three lines consists of super jet centrifugal link cleaners, followed by, in the A position, an original Sentinel link cleaner with the perforated drum, not the brush applicator cylinder, and followed by a conventional Lummus Model 108 link cleaner. And that is the Fazenda Planalto gen. The protocol for this, they were genning exclusively John Deere round modules, and so essentially we took four rounds to make a module. We took two modules of four rounds each. We set in the number three line, we set the Sentinel link cleaner saw speed to 1200 RPM, leaving all the other link cleaners in the gen at 1000 RPM. We used 1200 RPM for a number of years in Israel and in California on our conventional controlled bat link cleaners because of the stronger fiber. Now that we are seeing higher strength, and that was interesting what the classing office was presenting, the higher strength cotton can withstand the higher tip speed of the saw and perhaps get a little bit better cleaning, and we'll take a look at some of those results. The sampling locations, very similar to what we did at Central Rolling Plains. We did sample at the feeder apron, although we don't produce any fractionation results. We were more interested in this paper to focus on the link cleaner saw speed. We took at the gen hood, after the superjet, and after the Sentinel, and after the Model 108 link cleaner. And so we got instances where we had running single link cleaning, taking those samples. In the case of this data, we processed the HVI at Unicotton in Primavera del Este in the state of Mato Grosso, and the APHIS testing was done in Blumenau, Santa Catarina in Brazil. And of course, we tabulated the data in Excel. Here's a little bit more laborious table for those of you in the back of the room. You can go to sleep now. But looking, you know, we tested it at four different feed rates, 80%, 70%, 60, and 50. And what we looked at primarily were some of the quality properties, uniformity index, and in the case of APHIS, your length, your upper quartile length, short fiber content, your NEPs, and your seed coat NEPs. One of the areas that I think a lot of us have seen, and some of the work we've done both in the U.S. and abroad, has been dealing with the smaller seed that the cultivars that are being produced by the cotton breeders. And we know that that smaller seed, depending on the climatic conditions, will become brittle. A lot of times you'll have blank seed meats on the module feeder. They get to the gin and you've already got lint and seed coat that's been removed from the seed. And so that's going to get into your ginning system. And as we know, although we talk about gentle ginning, there's no such thing as gentle ginning. It's a very violent type process. And so if it gets into the gin stand, the chances are it can become neps and seed coat neps. And so when you look at this data, we thought, well, as we slow down, maybe we'd see an improvement in some of the things. But actually what we saw, there wasn't much difference between, I'm losing my, there it is. If you look, your uniformity, sometimes higher on the conventional saw type link cleaner. The highest uniformity was on the conventional model 108. That is one of the areas that Brazil focuses on the way it classes, whereas the U.S. is more focused on not only the visual, but some of the quality properties. Brazil is totally on the visual appearance of the cotton. So they are very much more proponents of a controlled bat saw type lint cleaner. They've tried to use single saw lint cleaning, and now they're finding, just like the U.S. has found, that a lot of seed coat neps and a lot of extraneous matter is getting through and having to be taken out through a second stage of saw lint cleaning. So they're having to embrace, whether really they like it or not, they're having to embrace the reality that they're going to have to tandem lint clean at times. But if you look at the seed coat neps, you'll see sometimes they're lower on the Sentinels at 1200 RPM, and here sometimes they're higher. But you're seeing that's at 60% load, so you've slowed down. So everything is over the map. Now, granted, none of this is statistically significant. These are a minimal amount of samples. So you could take a lot more samples to figure out what is going on there. But based on what we saw, we didn't see any substantial difference, improvement or detractment from going with the 1200 RPM saw. On the second module, you'll see very similar results. You see the second module, once again, the best uniformity we had was in a model 108 link cleaner running at 1000 RPM. But in general, you saw very consistent results that didn't tell us anything substantial one way or another. So this is something we want to continue to look. And all this is done simply to know what is happening. The cultivars that were researched 40 and 50 years ago from some of the initial gin lab data are no longer grown. And the cotton that we are processing now is substantially different. And that's why they continue to do research, and we have to continue to do development work to know whether our machinery is doing the best job possible to produce a marketable product that is received by the textile mills with open arms rather than with a cross and, you know, pitchforks and fire, which I saw one of the ginners this year with a bad crop, had a group of people with pitchforks and torches, said they're headed down to the local co-op gin right now. You join in the pack, and, you know, because of all the leaf grades. But that the reality is we're going to have to deal with cleaning the cotton and protecting the value. So in closing, some brief conclusions. Residual lint on our 170 was better or equal to that of the competitive gin stand. In the case of the Sentinel lint cleaner, we yielded smaller increases in short fiber content than the competitive lint cleaner, and we consistently across the board produced less neps than traditional type lint cleaning. In the case of Fazenda Planalto, the decreasing feed rate did not appear to cause any favorable effect on lint cleaner performance, and we didn't see any measured difference between the 1000 and 1200 RPM saw cylinder speed on either positive or negative on fiber quality. Once again, I'd like to thank the two gins that participated, Central Rolling Plains in Roscoe, Texas, and Fazenda Planalto in Mato Grosso do Sul, Brazil. The Gin Lab in Lubbock, the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute, Mid-Continent Labs, and foremost, my team at Lummus, both here domestically and in Brazil, for helping me out get everything together for this paper. And that will take care of it. Thank you, guys.
Any questions for Ross? Did everybody hear the question?
He's asking, is that going to be an across-the-board thing? Right now, we didn't see enough necessarily to change it, but I think that is something that, you know, we've got 18-inch wide central link planer at the Gen Lab in Stonewall. That may be something, you know, they could look at in conjunction with us, because I think it would allow a lot more samples in a very controlled feed. The thing about, when I talked about the moat production and things like that, the repair costs, all the different things that go into the cost of operating a link cleaner, those are the things that gens are looking at right now. And West Texas has embraced the new technology in many cases and continue to, but there are also still a lot of the conventional solid-type link cleaners. And I think from the capacity aspect, you know, gens are so focused, and I understand focusing on capacity, but it's capacity over a week and over a month rather than instantaneous ginning rate. Can you get it through? It's not can you get it through, it's should you get it through that fast. And I think when you find that sweet spot and what the expectations for your particular gin are, then you can do a better job maintaining efficiency and productivity.
Ross?
Do you know if lines 4 and 5 when we began your test and saw the change in the same?
They hadn't been there. So there's no telling what. I know with the residual length, that was way higher than we were expecting. When you looked at the seed, it did not look anything like what 14, you know. That just didn't look, to me, it didn't look right. I'm not doubting what the Intons and Labs did. I just sent them the seed and they sent the results. So sure, I'm sure what.
Thank you very much, Ross. Next on the agenda is Steve Evans. Steve's with Cherokee Fabrication, and he's going to talk about a new baling solution called the Brave.